Good evening. Tonight, I want to focus on the last few words of 1 Peter 3:7 that Ethan just read for us, so that your prayers may not be hindered. I wanted to look at that idea. There's actually a few verses in our Bibles that talk about our worship being hindered in some form or fashion. And I also felt like this topic was one that went well with the lesson this morning. And when we think about, for instance, with this morning's lesson, things that might make us neglect or ignore what the Bible has to say, well, those eventually will hinder things, right? If we don't think that they are now, then chances are that will come. And when we think about our worship to God, there's more than just what we do in worship. What we do in worship is important, but it's not the foundational principle of our worship. And in order to understand that, that's actually going to be the first point. Those of you who are taking notes tonight, we're actually going to look at what God is really caring about. Yes, God wants us to perform what we call the five acts of worship, but perhaps God sees something a little more important than that. Let's look here. So the first passage we're going to look at is 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15. Let me give you a little history of what's going on here in chapter 15. Saul has been told to go and slay the Amalekites and King Agag. And what he is specifically told to do is go and wipe everything out. No people, no animals, no spoils, nothing. Everything is to be destroyed and burned. Amalek should be annihilated from the face of the earth. That's what Saul was told to do. However, that's not what Saul does. And Saul has this nice little, what he thinks, is a get out of jail free card. So when we look at verse 13... Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord." Except he hasn't. Then Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Doesn't sound like we've been obedient." Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed." So that's a nice, again, it's a get out of jail free card, right? Oh, well, the people, first of all, he's not responsible, right? The people wanted to worship. So we brought things back to offer to God. And if you don't know the rest of the story, that seems like, yeah, okay, why not? We're worshiping God, right? That's what's most important. But worshiping God, I think we're missing the mark, Saul. Samuel said to Saul, verse 16, "Wait, and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak." Samuel said, "Is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" I thought it was for worship, right? How could that be evil? Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord. Is this really the hill we want to die on, Saul? The prophet of God is coming and telling you, you didn't obey? You really want to start that argument? I went on the mission which the Lord sent me and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. That's not what God said. But the people took some of the spoils, sheep and oxen, and the choicest of all things devoted to destruction to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Worship to the Lord is actually not the most foundational thing of who we are, apparently. Is it important to worship God? Yes. Has he asked us to worship him? Yes. Has he told us how to do that? Yes. But there are more important things to be considered first. And as we just read, there are aspects of our worship that can be hindered by things. And we must make sure that those are taken care of so that our worship is not false. That our worship is not ultimately done in error, as Saul's apparently was. I am sure Saul had the idea to bring back the choicest things. I'm sure it was his idea. Because they wouldn't have done it without his permission. But here we see there was something more important. God told him to destroy the Amalekites, not bring back the choicest things and offer them to me. To obey is better than sacrifice. Let's look at Psalm 40. Psalm 40, beginning in verse 6. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. Notice what he said there right in verse 6. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. Isn't that what God asked? Isn't that what he told the Israelites to do? Was to sacrifice and give meal offerings? Once again, there was something more important. And Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 10, actually goes through a discussion of this verse a little bit more in depth. So on your own time, please read Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 10. Next, if you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. He's not speaking to Sodom and Gomorrah, by the way. They're long gone. He's talking to Israel and Judah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. And I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. So not only is God just saying, I prefer obedience over than the things that I've actually asked of you to do. He's gone so far as to say, if you don't understand that you have to have this attitude, that it's an attitude more than just the acts of worship, because that's what they could say, right? We're keeping the new moons, we're keeping your feasts and your Sabbaths, and we're doing your offerings. That's not the point. And to God, that was never the point. Yes, I know Paul talks about the law of Moses being a law based on work, but I think he's talking about what the Jews made it become. They made it into a law of works. God never intended the law of Moses to be a law of works, as he's clearly stating here. Obedience is what I want, not the works themselves. As long as you're doing them, I will be happy with you in your obedience. But that's not what's happening. And so God isn't, our worship isn't just hindered. God isn't listening at all. And we'll talk about what some of these hindrances are. And by the way, this sentiment is repeated in Jeremiah 6, verse 20, if you want to go and look at that one for yourself as well. And not, I know we've been in the Old Testament, but Mark chapter 12. In case you thought, well, that's all Old Testament talk. Well, Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, do all the things God told you to do." Well, no. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. Notice what he just said there. At any point, has any of the verses we've read said, neglect the things that God has asked to worship him? Has he ever said that? No. But what has he said? There are more important things that you are not considering. It is not the offerings and the sacrifices that I want. It's not the new moons and the Sabbaths and the feasts that I want. It is you that I want. I want you. I want your obedience. It's more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices to love God and to love our neighbor as ourself. That is the most foundational point of who we are. And then we build from there. We build into our aspects of worship. Because again, as we have just denoted so far, it's not about the five acts of worship that we do. It's about our obedience. And therefore, I'm going to do the five acts of worship that God has called me to do while we're here. Right? You see how that works? So let's talk about what hinders our worship. There are three passages that we're going to pay particular attention to in this vein. And the first we've already read, 1 Peter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Gentlemen, when we don't give our wives their proper place in our life, God will stop listening to our prayers. It is that simple. And notice here, there is nothing given about this being a conditional relationship. as long as your wife is good to you, then dwell with your wives in understanding. No. It's your responsibility. And here, I think that there is something written in here. We're talking about prayers being hindered. Yes, he was just talking to women prior to speaking to the husbands at this point. But if you aren't going to dwell with your wives in an understanding way, then you have the possibility of hindering their prayers as well. Yes, they should be who they need to be regardless of the way you're behaving. But do you want to run the risk of hindering their prayers? Do you want to put them in a position where their relationship to God is put in jeopardy because of how you treat them? And I would also read between the lines to say that wives, everything he said before this, verses 1 through 6, that it would have meant the same for you as well. If you don't behave in the way of verses 1 through 6, your prayers may be hindered. Because again, if we're not going to respond, husbands and wives, in these manners, then we're not obeying God. Note the connection that we just made from the previous point. If I'm not obeying God, then my worship ultimately means nothing. God will no longer listen to our prayers. And now consider, you come up here while we're gathered together and you lead us all in prayer and God isn't listening to you. What position does that put the rest of the church in? Hopefully God would listen to one of us. I think he would. But is that a risk you want to take? Is that a position you want to put yourself and the church in? That as you lead us in prayer, God isn't listening to your prayer? The next is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you who are weak and sick, and a number sleep, if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. Notice now, if I'm not taking care mentally, as he puts it, judging the body rightly, while I am partaking of the Lord's Supper, I eat and drink condemnation upon myself. If I don't have the right mindset and the right attitude, it doesn't matter what you put in your mouth. To God, it's the same as eating anything else, drinking anything else other than what he has commanded. Because you did not obey. You're not obeying. you're just doing. Do you notice there's a difference? It's a difference that the Israelites never seem to quite catch on to. There's a difference between doing and obeying. And we have to understand that distinction. Thirdly is Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is in the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 21, he's going through this section of, you have heard it said, but I say to you. He's establishing new things for the kingdom, and really the proper understanding of the law of Moses as well, but he's also establishing things for us to understand. You have heard, verse 21, that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. If you and your brother have something against each other, or one of you has something against the other, it seems here God isn't even going to accept your offering. And notice that this is an offering of worship, and I think when we think of offering, we sort of automatically think of putting something in the plate, but there's so much more that we offer to the Lord. Any of the acts of worship are an offering of us to the Lord, and our offering will not be accepted. And notice what the issue is here. If you remember that your brother has something against you, what did we just read in Mark chapter 12? That to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. So if there is any contention between me and another one of my fellow Christians, God isn't even paying attention to my offering. My offering is worthless to the Lord because I have not given him the proper attitude. See, I'm doing what God asked me to do, but I'm not obeying. I am not doing what God asked with the right attitude. And so note these things. My prayers, the Lord's Supper, really any of my offerings, I can come in between me and God. And this is why what we talked about this morning is so important. Because while I pointed out these specific things, because the Bible points them out directly, I think I can say anything that you're allowing to get in between you and God, any seatbelt silencers, if you will, from this morning, they will hinder you. I also want you to consider Hebrews chapter 12. As we move on to practical, there's two verses that I want us to consider. The first is Hebrews chapter 12. And then we'll actually go back to Isaiah here momentarily. Hebrews chapter 12. After chapter 11, which we colloquially call the Hall of Faith, he's talked about what it means to be a person of faith and how much effort and sacrifice it takes to be a person of faith. And then he says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, by the way, those are witnesses in judgment, not just watchers. They're eyewitnesses in the court case against us. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance. Another word there is hindrance. and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus never let anything hinder him. He didn't let anything get in between him and his Father. And we're called to the same context. We're called to the same command. Don't let anything get in the way of you and the Lord. Whether it be what goes on in our families, 1 Peter 3, whether it goes on while we're in the middle of the Lord's Supper, whatever's going on between us and our fellow Christians, these things will hinder our worship. And God will no longer accept it. I want you to consider Isaiah chapter 1. You can read it, and I will also have it up here on screen for you. How do I prevent myself from having my worship hindered? Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Consent and obey. Notice after everything, that's really what it leads to, isn't it? If you consent and obey, then your worship will not be hindered. God will take your offerings. He will accept them. And he will accept them in a way that he didn't do with the Israelites. Could not often bring himself to accept from the Israelites. There'll be a sweet-smelling aroma instead of a powerful odor. God will actually want them. You'll be giving God what he wants. And you will get what you want in return. It's a great relationship that God has promised us. But it's so easy to let things get in the way. God is very merciful. God is very gracious. And that's why he gives us the opportunities to fix things, to remove the hindrances from our worship. Consent and obey. This evening, every one of us here in this room have consented and obeyed and begun our walk with Christ. Some not so long ago and some a lifetime ago. But what all of us struggle with are those hindrances that get in the way of us and the Lord. And again, we have to be brutally honest with ourselves. I said this morning that it's really hard to fool ourselves, and it is. But sometimes we can get away with a certain kind of justification. We can fool ourselves for a time, but you can't fool yourself all the time. And you might think everything is okay now, but don't let it be that as you're staring death in the face that you really haven't been honest with yourself. That's when you come to the realization that you let your worship be hindered. that you let intrapersonal things get in the way, interpersonal things get in the way. Don't let that happen. Consent and obey, and you will eat the best of the land. That's what God has promised you. Are you listening? Tonight, you have a chance to consent and obey once again. One of the easiest ways to remove hindrances from your way is to let your brothers and sisters know. When you have a room full of people who can help you be accountable, while that is daunting, it is extremely helpful. Don't neglect the gift that God has given you in the family that you have here. I promise you, if you come up here tonight, you will receive no judgment from me. I reserve that judgment for the Lord. And if you make whatever is going on in your life right, you will not have the judgment of the Lord against you either. But you have to take that step. You have to take responsibility. You have to understand your accountability to Him tonight. Do you feel as though your worship today or tonight has been hindered? Do you feel like you've let things get in the way of what you've done tonight? If you need any help tonight, please take advantage of this opportunity as we stand and as we sing.